స్థిమితోద ఇవార్ణవా ముని ప్రసన్న గంభీరో దుర్విగాహ్యో దురత్యయః అనంత పారో హి అక్షోభ్య స్థిమితోద ఇవార్ణవ ముని ప్రసన్న గంభీరో దుర్విగాహ్యో దురత్యయః అనంత పారో హి అక్షోభ్య స్థిమితోద ఇవార్ణవ. శోభ్య స్థిమితోద ఇవార్ణవః దుర్విగాహ్యో దురత్యయ అనంతపారో హి అక్షోభ్య స్థిమితోద ఇవార్ణవ. మతజీస్, వర్డ్ టు వర్డ్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ అండ్ పర్పోర్ట్ బై ద హంబల్ డిసైపుల్స్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ ఏసీ భక్తివేదాంత స్వామి శ్రీ ప్రభుపాద్. వర్డ్ టు వర్డ్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్స్. మునిహి, a saintly sage, prasanna, pleasing, gambhira, very grave, durvigaya, unfathomable, duratyaya, unsurpassable, anantapara, unlimited, he certainly, akshobhya, not to be disturbed, స్థిమిత కామ్ ఉదహ వాటర్ ఇవ లైక్ అర్ణవ ద ఓషన్. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్: అ సెయింట్లీ సేజ్ ఇస్ హ్యాపీ అండ్ ప్లీజింగ్ ఇన్ హిస్ ఎక్స్టర్నల్ బిహేవియర్ వెరాజ్ ఇంటర్నలీ హీ ఈజ్ మోస్ట్ గ్రేవ్ అండ్ థాట్ఫుల్ బికాస్ హిస్ నాలెడ్జ్ ఈజ్ ఇమ్మెజరబుల్ అండ్ అన్లిమిటెడ్ హీ ఈజ్ నెవర్ డిస్టర్బ్డ్ and thus in all respects he is like the tranquil waters of the unfathomable and unsurpassable ocean. Purport: even in the midst of great distress a self-realized sage does not lose control of himself nor is his spiritual knowledge lost. Thus he is akshobhya or undisturbed. His mind is fixed on the supreme personality of Godhead who is the reservoir of unlimited spiritual bliss, and having linked his consciousness with the supreme consciousness, his knowledge cannot be measured. A pure devotee having taken shelter of the Lord's lotus feet possesses great spiritual power and therefore he cannot be surpassed or overwhelmed. In fact, having developed his spiritual body, he is not affected by the deteriorating actions of time. Although outwardly he is friendly and pleasing to everyone, internally his mind is fixed on the absolute truth. And no one can understand his actual purpose or plan. Even the most intelligent human beings cannot understand the mental activities of a self-realized devotee who has given up material life based on lust and greed and taken shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. Such a great soul can be compared to the mighty ocean. Innumerable powerful rivers plunge into the ocean, but the ocean remains calm and peaceful. Thus a saintly person is understood to be like the ocean, pleasing, unfathomable, grave, unsurpassable, unlimited, and unshakable. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. శ్రీ చైతన్య మనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపః కదా మయ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం. వందేహం శ్రీగురో శ్రీయుత పదకమలం శ్రీగురూన్ వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతాం సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజన సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం. శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణ పాదాన్ సహగణ లలిత శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే. తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానుసుతే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియే. వాంఛాకల్పతరూభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధూభ్యైవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. నమో విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణపృష్ఠాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామీనితి నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతే దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాదీ పాశ్చాత్య దేశతారిణే. జై శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర్ శ్రీవాసది గౌరభక్త వృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. హరే కృష్ణ. విల్ రీడ్ ద ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ అగైన్. అ సెయింట్లీ సేజ్ ఇస్ హ్యాపీ అండ్ ప్లీజింగ్ ఇన్ హిస్ ఎక్స్టర్నల్ బిహేవియర్ వెర్ ఎస్ ఇంటర్నలీ హిస్ మోస్ట్ గ్రేవ్ అండ్ థాట్ఫుల్ బికాస్ హిస్ నాలెడ్జ్ ఇస్ ఇమ్మెజరబుల్ అండ్ అన్లిమిటెడ్ హీ ఈస్ నెవర్ డిస్టర్బ్డ్ అండ్ డస్ ఇన్ ఆల్ రిస్పెక్ట్స్ ఇస్ లైక్ ద ట్రాంక్విల్ వాటర్స్ ఆఫ్ ద అన్ఫాదమబుల్ అండ్ అన్సర్పాసబుల్ ఓషన్. సో హియర్ దర్ ఇస్ అ డిఫరెన్స్ మేడ్ in the external behavior of a saintly person and the internal mood of the saintly person. And many times we hear that great saintly persons, the purer they are, the more transparent they are. So transparency basically means what you are inside is outside. And here it is described, there are two contrasting. Outside is very affectionate, outside is very happy, cheerful, and inside is very grave. So does it mean that, is this duplicity? I'm something else inside and I'm something else outside. But general descriptions contradict this conception of duplicity. So how do we understand this? So for us to understand the nature of a great soul is not very easy. Said it takes one to know one. So we are basically delving, we are putting our hand into deep waters, as they say. And interestingly, today's verse is about deep waters, ocean. So to understand about great souls, we'll have to hear from another great soul. We can't understand the qualities of the Supreme Lord. We cannot understand the nature of the great souls. So some understanding about a great soul is, the bona fide great souls are always in a parampara. Parampara is a long chain of spiritual masters and disciples, starting all the way from Krishna. So this particular great soul who is being described, whoever he is, any great soul, he is part of the parampara. It means there are great souls above him, there is a parampara above him, and there is also a parampara below him. So what, he has two relationships. He is also having a relationship with those who are below him, and he is having a relationship with those who are above him. So what about his relationship with those who are above him? Is this great soul a disciple to them? Yes. The great souls above this great soul, are they gurus to this great soul? Yes. He is a guru himself. He is a teacher himself. He can guide others. But sometimes he also requires guidance. So then, to receive guidance from somebody who is above you, you need to be grave. You need to be thoughtful. In this world also, this word gravity is used. And gravity is basically something that keeps you down on the ground. It does not allow you to fly in the air. So similarly, when some disciple is grave, he has that quality of gravity. It means he is grounded. He is not flying high in the air. So imagine some disciple who is sitting in front of his spiritual master and he does not have gravity. Even in a mundane sense, you know, he's flying above. Whenever somebody is giving a talk, usually they maintain some level difference between the speaker and the listener, at least for that much time. Why? Because there should be a difference between the speaker and the listener. That is the mood, that is the culture, etiquette. So when the disciple wants to learn from the spiritual master, he basically should be grounded. He should not be flying up. He should not be feeling that I myself am knowing a lot of things. So that's why it is mentioned this great soul, although he himself is a great soul, but he is internally, he is a very grave person. He is a very thoughtful person. Because when he is accepting instructions from those who are seniors to him, he has to be grounded and he has to think over it. Why is this instruction being given to me? What is the purpose of this instruction in my life? How do I carry out this instruction as the basis of my life? So even sadhaka devotees have a spiritual master, and sometimes the spiritual master, when he is all alone, or sometimes when you see him from a distance, he appears to be very grave. So what is that gravity? That gravity, is it moroseness? No, definitely not. But that gravity is his thoughts, his absorption in his service to his spiritual master. He is thinking about the mission of Lord Chaitanya. He is thinking about the mission of his spiritual master. He is thinking, how do I become a good instrument in the hands of my spiritual master? That is why he is grave. That is why he is thoughtful. And then, this great soul, this spiritual master, is he just a disciple of his spiritual master? No. He is a guru. He is a spiritual master to his disciples. So he has another relationship also. So now considering this relationship of a particular great soul with those who are below him in the parampara, the second part of the parampara. Those below him, what do they seek to learn from their Guru Maharaj, from their spiritual master? Primarily I feel it is training, and then to apply that training in their lives, inspiration. So in the beginning years, always a great soul will give training. This is how it is to be done, that is how it should not be done. And then later, when all the directions are given, now he needs to impart inspiration, support, or encouragement, so that the training that has already been given is now practiced by those who are following him or trying to follow him. So now somebody has already given training and now he wants to give inspiration. Or even while giving training, he needs to be giving some kind of encouragement to people to receive that training. So can a teacher be very grave when he is giving training? Can a teacher be very grave and very thoughtful when he is giving inspiration to those who are seeking help from him? You know, that creates a very serious atmosphere. But while giving training or while giving inspiration to somebody who is below you, there should be cheerfulness. Because that cheerfulness will reflect hope in the hearts of those who are receiving instructions from him. The spiritual instructions are not very easy. Spiritual instructions are not to be practiced very easily. Even when we hear some of the spiritual instructions, it threatens the heart. How can I follow this instruction? It's just being spoken. The spiritual master is just speaking his expectations. He is not even forcing us. He is not even giving us a deadline. This is the time by which you should be practicing. He's just speaking. And some of those principles that the spiritual master speaks are really very fearful. So there needs to be a lot of hope while giving those instructions, there needs to be a lot of assurance that as I am giving you the training, as I am expecting you to follow the training, I am there to help you. I am there to support you. And that will only come from cheerfulness. If the spiritual master, when he is speaking those instructions or when he is giving inspiration for following those instructions, if he has a morose face, it won't give encouragement to his followers. So that's why it is mentioned the saintly person externally is very cheerful. In his external behavior, he is happy and pleasing. And internally, he is most grave and thoughtful. That's why this is not duplicity. As per the situation, the spiritual master has to adjust. We hear from the life of Srila Prabhupada's, words of Srila Prabhupada's disciples about Srila Prabhupada, how Srila Prabhupada was extremely uncompromising, almost a fiery lion when he would sit on the Vyasasana. What about his personal dealings with his disciples? It's a very encouraging. Some of his disciples could not maintain their principles because of their past background. And when they would return to Prabhupada, there's one particular story about one of his disciples called Gaur Sundar. Prabhupada depended a lot on him. He was the husband of Govinda Mataji. So Govinda Mataji was such a loyal, strong disciple of Srila Prabhupada, and her husband could not maintain the principles. Prabhupada, even to encourage him, made him the temple president of Hawaii temple for one time. But then he could not maintain principles, and after 6 or 7 months of absconding totally, nobody knew where he is, he returns to Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada is sitting with his disciples. And somebody says, Prabhupada, Gaur Sundar is here to meet you. And Prabhupada said, oh, our Gaur Sundar. So as soon as this Gaur Sundar Prabhu heard these words, our Gaur Sundar, he came inside, he felt encouraged. And when he came inside, he saw there was two streams of tears in the eyes of Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada just called him close and embraced him. Because these were few disciples who helped Prabhupada when he was all alone. And that really encouraged this Gaur Sundar. So in his personal dealings, he is very soft-hearted. But on the Vyasasana, he is very strong. There is one particular story of one disciple. Her name was Linda. And this Linda was one of those female disciples in those days. She was well-educated. So she was originally from New York. And she had done a course in Greek philosophy. So now, somebody does a course in philosophy, you should understand, you know, they are philosophically inclined. But then she said, I read a lot about Socrates, who's the pioneer of Greek philosophy. But she said, I didn't see that kind of seriousness and I didn't see that kind of philosophical inclination in the professors who taught Greek philosophy to me. So she got disillusioned. And she heard that the next big gathering of youth is in San Francisco. So she escaped from New York and came to San Francisco. But in San Francisco, who are there? The whole city is full of hippies who are basically very raw people. They are not very sophisticated. Most of them were not even educated, what to speak of Greek philosophy. So she found that these hippies are basically into just sensual enjoyment. So she did not fit into the intellectual culture of New York universities, and she did not fit into the hippie culture based on sensual enjoyment. And as she was moving around one day in San Francisco, she saw Swamiji sitting. He was chanting in a park, and there were some disciples happily dancing. And she saw a lot of happiness on their face. So she thought, here probably there is some hope for me. And then Swamiji left. She could not meet Swamiji, but she talked with some of the disciples. And she felt they are genuinely happy, whatever they are doing. So next day she goes to the temple, and as soon as Swamiji comes and starts speaking, he starts speaking a Sanskrit shloka. So nobody else is able to follow that Sanskrit shloka, but she is able to follow that Sanskrit shloka. And she immediately identifies with the knowledge and the intelligence of the Swamiji. So later she goes to meet Swamiji, Prabhupada, and she reveals that she has a course in, she has done a course in Greek philosophy. So Swamiji immediately sums up all of Greek philosophy in 2 or 3 sentences. And that immediately endears Linda. And then she says, what do you feel about Socrates? And Prabhupada says, Socrates was actually a devotee in disguise. But nobody understood him. So Linda says, I understood. He knows Socrates. He knows Greek philosophy. And nobody else could talk to her in that way. So she got really attached to Swamiji. Swamiji was already doing a course in cooking for some of the female disciples on Saturdays. So he immediately asked her, would you like to join and learn cooking? And then there were 3 or 4 female disciples and Swamiji would teach them. So she is one of those disciples, very intelligent, very smart, intellectually inclined. And she attracted Prabhupada's attention very quickly. So the other 3 or 4 disciples, they were long timers and she was a new one. But then she's immediately cooking for the Lord. She's immediately cooking for Srila Prabhupada. So one day, one particular day, as she learned cooking, it was an Ekadashi day. And she came to the kitchen. And she saw that Prabhupada himself was cooking something. So Prabhupada said, oh, I was looking for you. I said, where is that girl? Prabhupada tried to strike a conversation. And Linda said, I thought today was a fasting day. So as soon as she said that, Prabhupada said, in Krishna consciousness, fasting means feasting. And then he added what it means. He said, we prepare the biggest feast for Krishna on Ekadashi. So that's why I'm cooking this. And then he put it on a flat pan. It was some whitish substance. And then he said, keep it on the window for it to dry. You can serve me later. And then he walked away from the kitchen. Then during his lunch, Swamiji said, can you bring that dish that we prepared? So Linda brought it. He asked her to serve. And Prabhupada took it, gave some to Linda. And then he said, what were the ingredients of this dish? So Linda said, I hardly saw. I was just too busy. You were preparing it. I didn't prepare it. So Prabhupada said, you taste it and tell me. So said, I can't understand what are the ingredients by tasting. So Swamiji said, you can't understand the ingredients by tasting. And he started laughing. Then he called some of the other ladies who had been cooking for a long time. And then he gave one of those to that another woman. Said, can you understand what is there? What are the ingredients? So she tasted, another female disciple, and she said, I also don't understand. And then he again looked at Linda and said, you also don't understand. And again Swamiji started laughing. And now seeing Swamiji laughing, the second disciple, she also started laughing. Then he told her, get somebody from downstairs. This time Govinda Mataji came. And Govinda Mataji was an artist. She's a painter. So Swamiji Prabhupada gave one of those small balls made from that whitish substance. It was simply wonderful to Govinda Mataji and said, so what are the ingredients? And as soon as Govinda Mataji ate it, she said, butter, sugar and milk powder. And Swamiji said, perfect. And then he told Linda, just see, she is a simple artist, but she can understand. And again he started laughing. So this Linda Mataji, later she became Leelavati Mataji. And she is even today one of the professors in psychology in one university, very intelligent. But that day she understood that actually she had developed some kind of a subtle pride, that in a short time she had come close to the spiritual master. And how did that pride manifest? That one day when you see the spiritual master cooking something on an Ekadashi day, you dare to tell the spiritual master, I thought today is a fasting day. So how come you are cooking? You are supposed to fast today. And Prabhupada immediately detected that pride. When you talk like that with the spiritual master loosely, he detected that pride and immediately in that short span, he totally dismantled her pride. So this example is given how the spiritual master or a saintly person is externally very pleasing, but internally he is very grave. As soon as he detects some fault in his disciple, then he'll correct it. So is this duplicity? Whatever is necessary for the correction of his disciple, that the spiritual master will always do. His Grace Bhurijan Prabhu, just like he has come up with a book, His Lotus Feet, which is on the first and the second canto. Recently he also released a book called His Backward Glance. And this book is his commentaries on the 11th and the 12th canto. So in that, on this section, on comparing the ocean with the saintly person, Bhurijan Prabhu writes, the ocean and the saintly person are compared here because the ocean, the saintly person is a grave person. He does not rejoice. Just like the ocean never overflows. So when you become happy, he's comparing it to overflowing of the ocean. And then he says, the saintly person also never becomes morose, just like the ocean never dries up. So similarly, here we see how the spiritual master is internally very grave, he's very deep, so he will never overflow. At the same time, because of his depth, he has so much to give to the world that he will never dry up. In the life of Lord Chaitanya also, we see how Lord Chaitanya at one point of time was very compassionate. So in one particular instance, in relation with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, in one sense, for 7 days and seven nights, Lord Chaitanya was just sitting there and he showed his humility. He showed his concern to deliver Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And then after he delivers Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya develops so much love for Lord Chaitanya. And then very soon after that incident, probably a month or so after that incident, Lord Chaitanya reveals his desire to go to South India under the pretext of finding his elder brother Vishwaroop. So till now, he has given a lot of association to devotees like Gopinath Acharya, who are there with him in Jagannath Puri, to Nityanand Prabhu, who is also there with him in Jagannath Puri. There is one new disciple, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So he has developed so much attraction for Lord Chaitanya, because he understands the level of Lord Chaitanya, and he is the most affected by this news. When Lord Chaitanya says, I'll go to South India, so he practically falls at the feet of Lord Chaitanya and says, please don't go. I just request you, who can control you? You are the Param Swatantra. You are the most independent Supreme Lord. But I just request you one day, at least stay for a few days at my home and accept prasadam at my home. So previously also Lord Chaitanya showed compassion on him, and this time also he shows compassion. He relents. He stays at the home of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya for 5 days and accepts prasadam at his home for 5 days. So loving exchanges take place between them. And then Lord Chaitanya says, right, now is my time to leave. So what can he do? He goes to the Jagannath temple, takes permission from Lord Jagannath. The pujari gives the garland of Lord Jagannath as permission. And then Lord Chaitanya, along the seashore, is now going towards Alarnath, and from Alarnath he'll go to South India. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he cannot stand himself. No, when you meet somebody who's your guide for the first time, everything about him is so enchanting, because you never met a person like that till then. So when you meet somebody, and just when you meet him, you lose him. That causes greatest misery. We are already in misery before, but then you got some nectar, and now that nectar is also very less. Somebody is thirsty for a long time, he can tolerate that thirst. But when you get a few drops of sweet lemon juice, then your thirst increases more, you want more. So something like that. So he again intercepts Lord Chaitanya and he says, at least I have a request, you know, you take some of these extra garments. And I also have a request that when you go to South India, you meet Ramanand Rai. One time I had met him when I had gone to South India, but that time I could not recognize his devotional nature. I thought that he is some sentimentalist. Now after meeting you, I realize my fortune. I had already met a pure devotee, but that time I could not recognize him. So please do this. Lord Chaitanya agrees. And then Lord Chaitanya just turns and leaves. And this sudden turning and sudden kind of harsh behavior from Lord Chaitanya actually crushes Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. It is mentioned, Eta bali Mahaprabhu karila gaman murchita haya maha taha padila Sarvabhauma. Sarvabhauma just collapses there. He falls unconscious. And then it is mentioned, Tare upekshila kaila shigra gaman ke bujite pare Mahaprabhu rachittaman. So the same Mahaprabhu who was super compassionate on him till some time back, 7 days he gave his oral reception to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya just to have compassion on him. 5 days he delayed his South India Yatra just to stay at his home and take Mahaprasad. Right now, he is not willing to wait for one moment just to give solace to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. I will soon be back. I will again give you my association. Vajradabhi Kathorani Kusumad Mrudulani Cha. It is mentioned a great soul is sometimes harsh like a thunderbolt and sometimes is soft like a rose. And it is mentioned, ke bujhite pare. So if you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, this line must have come at least 1,000 times. Ke bujhite pare.
Srila Haridas Thakur, he is telling Lord Chaitanya, Ke Bujite Pare. Rup Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, they will often tell Lord Chaitanya, Ke Bujite. Who can understand your heart? Who can understand your grave plans? So Lord Chaitanya usually is chanting and dancing and jumping in Sankirtan in front of all his followers. And in his private room, he's so grave, he's so serious. He's calling out to Krishna. And that is why that room is called by a certain name. That room does not have a name. It is Kashishwar Pandit's home. But since Lord Chaitanya is in the gravest mood in that room is called Gambhira. So, Je Prabhu Achila Ati Parama Gambhir, Se Prabhu Haila Prema Parama Asthir. Lord Chaitanya also had these two moods. When you caught him in Gambhira, he was actually the gravest person. Apparently there was no cheerfulness on his face, but when he was with his followers doing Sankirtan, then he was Prema Parama Asthir. He was very cheerful, he was very happy, and just by his glance, he would give cheer to all his followers. The second part of the translation gives another quality of the great souls. This says, because his knowledge is immeasurable and unlimited, he is never disturbed. And thus in all respects, he is like the tranquil waters of the unfathomable and unsurpassable ocean. So one quality was his external cheerfulness and internal gravity. And the second part is how he cannot be disturbed. And as soon as we talk about how somebody can never be disturbed, it creates great admiration for all of us. Because in Kali Yuga, problems are all pervading. They were always all pervading, but they become more and more prominent in Kali Yuga. There is a Chinese saying which says, they talk to each other like this, may you live in interesting times. So actually this is not a blessing. Interesting here means upheavals. So actually it's a curse. When somebody wants to speak ill to somebody, the Chinese people will say, may you live in interesting times. May you live in troubled times. And this saying is all the more applicable in today's times. Just yesterday I was talking to one student, very intelligent, very smart, and because of his internet addiction, at one point of time, he failed in one exam, in one paper. And when he failed in that paper, all his ego, all his self-esteem, self-confidence, he is doing graduation. So he's saying from his primary school to graduation, he never ever stood anything other than first. And he said, for the first time, things went out of control. Too much internet, freely available. And he failed. And that one exam failure caused him so much depression, he just could not handle it. So he told me, last 2 years, after that he got a result, he would go to the exam hall, and he would return from the examination. I was looking out for him because he would come to the programs. And yesterday after 2 years he met me. I said, where were you? So I would ask his friends and his friends would tell me, he's at his home. So I thought maybe he's sick. I tried to call him, but his internet had been switched off. He would not pick my calls. And after 2 years he met me yesterday and he said, actually that one failure put me in so much deep depression. I could not rise. I lost all my confidence. He said, I would go to the examination hall and I would see people who were below me in all the exams and well prepared for the exams, and I was also well prepared for the exams, but I could not, I used to think, what if I fail again? He said, all his life, all his cousin brothers and sisters would be brought to his home and their mothers and fathers would say, just learn from your brother. Look how intelligent he is. He said, all of them, now they look at me in a different way. So he said, it took 2 years for him, 2 years he did not appear for any paper, now he's appearing for the papers again, to fight that loss of self-confidence. So these are the times that we are living in. Diseases have increased, in the sense physical diseases, economic problems, political problems, scams happening, scandals happening, all these things are there, accidents happening, ecological disasters happening. But within all that, the internal environment is also in bad shape. And that's why when we hear of somebody who is unshakable, who is Atma Ram, cannot be shaken. Apuryamanam achala pratishtham. Then we are attracted to such a person. One of the US government officials. Henry Kissinger, at one point of time, he was the Secretary of the State. He made a very interesting comment. He said, there cannot be a crisis next week. My schedule is already full. So they are dealing with so much crisis day after day. Today, management basically means crisis management. There's very less time to do something constructive, very less time to do something positive. You're basically doing firefighting. One intelligent person who's considered to be a very great authority in today's times recently passed away. His name is Stephen Hawking. So he's considered to be a very intelligent person, and many college students, you know, they have his photograph, they have their books. They don't read it, they don't understand anything, but they kind of worship this person. So I was trying to understand what are his views about the present day problems. So one time, he was asked this question, what do you think is the future of humanity in the next 100 years? I have a purpose for discussing all this. What do you think is the future of humanity in the next 100 years? So he's one of the most intelligent people. You know what is the answer? I'm quoting verbatim. I don't know the answer. That is why I ask the same question to get people to think about it and to be aware of the dangers we are now facing. So here is one of the greatest intelligent persons. He does not know anything about anything, and he's saying, sorry, I can't help you. He's saying, you know, one time he made a statement. Now we all keep saying, spiritualists, we keep saying, life is created from life. Life cannot be created from dead matter. So he is one person who's trying to negate this. He is a stark atheist. He does not believe in God. So he says, you people say, all religionists, all spiritualists say, life only comes from life. I'll tell you a proof of life came from matter. So what is his argument? He says, computer viruses. He's saying, we should accept it as a new form of life. And who created it? No, they were created by error code. So he's saying it's a new form of life, and he's saying probably it also teaches us something about our potential. Maybe it says something about human nature, that the only form of life we have created so far is purely destructive. So here is a person who's considered to be an authority in intelligence, and he's saying there is only one form of life that humanity created. Whether it is right or wrong, I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying his opinion. And he's saying it is purely destructive. And then he says, talk about creating life in our own image. So this line has a very significant understanding. In the Christianity, it is said man is created in the image of God. It's a very popular understanding in the Bible. So that's why the Christian people will say, man is created in the image of God. And that's why he says, talk about creating something in your own image. So if we have created our image in the form of that virus and it's purely destructive, think about it, what dangers are awaiting us in the future. So on one side, there are problems increasing, and the highest intellectual authorities in this world are saying, I don't know, and the only creation that man has created is purely destructive. So how do we get free from all this? And that is why we have to resort again and again to Srimad Bhagavatam, to Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Why? We don't have any other option. We might feel we have an option with the intellectuals of this world. We do not have an option. Vedyam vastavam atra vastu shivadam tapa traya unmulanam. Know this Bhagavatam to be vastavam. This is the only substance. It is shivadam. It is auspicious real substance. And is it just auspicious? What about my existing problems? Okay, it will create auspiciousness for the future. Tapa traya unmulanam. It will uproot miseries from your life, from the roots. So there are issues which are much deeper, and then there are problems which are superficial. Usually people of this world are busy dealing with the problems of this world. I'd read one comparison between what is the difference between a teacher and a guru, spiritual master. Teacher can be translated in Hindi as shikshak. So shikshak or guru mein kya antar hai? So one difference, there are many differences. One difference was, the teacher solves problems and the guru resolves deeper issues. So depending on the level of advancement, purity, when you go to somebody with a problem, solving a problem is possible with some knowledge. But to identify the deeper issue that is being represented by the problem takes discrimination. That does not come by knowledge, that comes by purity, that comes by experience, that comes by concern for this person. And that's why the guru resolves deeper issues. So most people in this world, why are they busy? Why are they having no clue for the future? Why is the most intellectual person saying, I don't know what will happen to this future of this humanity? It's purely going on a destructive path. And on the other side, we have spiritual masters who say, basically, these are the issues that we need to resolve. And no matter how depressed you are, no matter how serious is the problem, when you approach somebody who is really grounded in spirituality, that person will hear you first. So we have seen how His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, when there are some problems happening, and you know, senior devotees have spoken how they go to him and he's listening very attentively, very intently, trying to hear every single word, and he does not interrupt you, and then he asks you, are you finished? And then you have something to say, then you will go on speaking. So he hears you out completely, never appearing to be short of time. So when you are exhausted, when you speak the whole thing, and then in a matter of moments, he will decode that whole big problem into actually one or two smaller, deeper issues that many times we fail to detect. Many times we fail to understand. So that is why it is mentioned here that a saintly person is very deep. A saintly person is very grave. He is very thoughtful. He is very cheerful in encouraging his disciples. But he is very grave and he is very thoughtful inside. And because he is like a deep ocean, he is unfathomable, he is unsurpassable. So we have this book that contains some dialogues with Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. There is a book called Uncommon Dialogues. And there is this one very interesting dialogue that we were reading, which we can quote here. This is one very big social personality. His name is Sri Yukta Bardaloi. He appears to be one very respected religious person at that time. And he is having a dialogue with Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. So he says, I am going to condense it, I am not going to read the whole thing. But this is the start. At present, it is more essential to remove our country's pitiable poverty than it is to preach dharma or religion. This is the typical argument between intellectuals and those who represent Bhagavad Dharma. Arey, problems chal rahe hain, uske liye aap kya kar rahe hain? Go out of the temple, distribute free food. And again we keep hearing from our acharyas, this problem is represented, it represents actually a deeper issue of a tendency to accumulate more than necessary. And just yesterday, Purushottam Prabhu was speaking of how a saintly person does not accumulate. He has a yachika vritti. He has ajgar vritti. So in one interaction that His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj had with one environmentalist on a plane, famed environmentalist, she accused Radhanath Maharaj of saying, what are you doing for the environment? Look at the problems outside. And then Maharaj very coolly decoded that problem into a deeper issue and he said, actually it is because of environmental issues in the heart. Because I am greedy, I don't have compassion for others, I do not mind polluting the environment. So you tackle the problems of the external environment and give me permission, allow me to deal with the environment problems in people's heart. Both of us can work together. Maharaj put it in a very nice way. So here also this person is saying, it is more essential to remove the country's poverty. So what is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's response? He says, how do you define dharma or religion? So he does not address the main question. He takes it. First, let us understand what is your conception of religion, which should not be done. So now comes his answer. To try to merge with God through meditation and comprehension. So now usually this understanding is given by Mayavadis who are more into analytical study, speculative study, sitting with books whole day in some small room, becoming scholars, bahu shastre, bahu vakya, chitte brahma hoye. This definitely does not represent Vaishnavas who are super active, who are very busy in reading in the morning and in the evening going out, performing sankirtan or giving classes to enlighten people, to benefit people. So what is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's response to this? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says, just listen very attentively, very nice words. It will be of great benefit if what you call dharma is not preached. I also agree with you. He said, better not to preach this dharma and to remove poverty. And Bhakti said, yes, right. We should not preach what your conception of dharma is. And then he says, another name for your dharma is violence to the living entities. From this impersonal conception, groups such as fruitive workers, lalchi log, sense enjoyers, bhogi log, and dry renunciants, those who are unconcerned with the world's problems, have come into existence. So I just liked so much this decoding by the great spiritual masters. There's in the next section, there is one particular, in the same dialogue, there's another argument. He says, okay, you are talking about service. Then Lord Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says, actually the real dharma is as preached by Lord Chaitanya Dev. That's how he would call Lord Chaitanya. Sri Chaitanya Dev. Service to God. So the next question from this person is, but we are not sure about the existence of God. See, that's how the deeper issues come. Actually, he does not even have faith in God. And he argued, to merge into existence of God is dharma. And next argument he says, but we are not sure about the existence of God. So where is the question of serving God? Better to remove poverty. Better to do philanthropic works. So then again, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati takes the bull by the horns and says, Lord Narasimha appeared just to destroy this misconception of yours. Lord Narasimha appeared from the pillar just to destroy your misconception that maybe he exists, maybe he does not exist. Pointed answer. Then he says, the next argument, I'm just very much condensing it. Very nice dialogue if you want to read this. The next dialogue is, oh, this person says that we should worship only Vishnu or Krishna, but you people worship Radharani also. Would you like to hear the answer of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati for this? Very beautiful answer. Okay, now this, you worship Radha with Krishna, but in Shankar Dev's opinion, only Krishna should be worshipped. Mark these words of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Very beautiful words. Worship of Krishna without Radha is not worship, but pride. It is another unauthorized philosophy nourished by the concept of an impotent God. This person is alone. He does not have energies. He does not have Ladini Shakti. So he is an impotent God. Krishna is alone the enjoyer. All others are to be enjoyed. The origin of all the enjoyed or the ashrayas, abodes of love, is Sri Radhika. To serve God under the subordination of his servant is the core of Vaishnava philosophy. Other philosophies devoid of subordination to the original shelter or ashray are simply covered atheism or some kind of pseudo-philosophy. And then he says, very beautiful lines, without serving the one who is capable of fulfilling Krishna's desires, it is not possible to satisfy Krishna's senses or to serve him. Unless a person becomes advanced in spiritual life by giving up the desire for material enjoyment, he cannot understand this. So he's saying how Radha Krishna worship is actually worshipping in humility, that you accept the real greatness of God. God is not alone. God has multifarious energies. And I cannot understand Krishna, but I can take shelter of somebody who has understood Krishna and has the capacity to satisfy Krishna. So if I want to satisfy Krishna, I should better learn from the person who has the capacity and understanding to satisfy Krishna. So that way we become humble. So Radha Krishna worship is based on humility. I do not know how to worship Krishna, but I am ready to learn from Radharani and to serve her as her servant to serve Krishna. And that is why we are basing so much of our philosophy in humility. That is why Lord Chaitanya, Trinadapi Sunichena. So these are these deeper issues which we are not aware of, and then we are facing so many problems in our lives. That's why the saintly person is somebody whom we should always take shelter. We have 3 more minutes, so we would like to present one more point. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, on this particular verse, he says something. He gives the third aspect of a saintly person. He says, a self-realized soul is as grave as the ocean because he does not allow anyone to understand his intention. He does not allow anyone to understand his intention. A saintly person is thus unfathomable and does not reveal his mentality to others. So we were reading Chaitanya Bhagavat for Gaur Purnima, and that time we noticed one incident, that this is the time when Ishwarapuri meets Nimai in Navadvip, not in Gaya. So before he met in Gaya, he met one time in Navadvip when Ishwarapuri was traveling around. And one day Nimai is returning from his school. Ishwarapuri sees him He's effulgent. He recognizes him as the Supreme Lord. But obviously, in that particular Leela, you know, he does not proclaim it. So he calls to Nimai and says, "Oh, best of the Brahmanas, where are you coming from?" He sees some books in his hand. So he says, "What do you teach? And where do you live?" Nimai, out of respect to his seniors, as we discussed in the beginning of this class, is grave and thoughtful. Nimai does not answer. He knows he's a great personality. So he keeps quiet. There are people around who say, "He's Nimai. He's the son of Jagannath Mishra and he stays nearby." And then it is mentioned by Vrindavan Das Thakur, Nimai respectfully took Ishwarpuri to his home for lunch. And then his mother prepares a big feast for Ishwarpuri. Ishwarpuri very gratefully, very respectfully honored the feast. And then it is mentioned, he sat in the temple room of Jagannath Mishra's home for some time. And then he spoke very lovingly, in a very absorbed way, of Krishna's loving pastimes. So Nimai heard that. So then Vrindavan Das Thakur mentions one shloka. Apurva premera dhara dekhi ya santosh. Apurva, abhi tak aisa kabhi dekha nahi Nimai ne. Apurva premera dhara dekhi ya santosh. Na prakashe apana lokera dina dosh. So in the purport to this shloka, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati highlights the word dina dosh. And he says, actually, people in this world have aversion for the Lord, as was discussed in the recent conversation that we read. And because people have so much aversion for the Lord, what to speak of serving the Lord, what to speak of having a favorable attitude of service to the Lord, what to speak of developing sneha, bhava, prema, rati, and all those mahabhava, it's all out of question. So he says, that is why great saintly persons, in general masses, do not reveal their internal heart. They restrain themselves. Of course, we know the example of Sajatiya, Vijatiya. Ramananda Raya and Lord Chaitanya, when they meet, Lord Chaitanya restrains himself. He does not show his affection. Why? Because there are many Brahmanas who are watching him. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati gives two more examples. He says, first time when Pradyumna Das Brahmachari visited Ramananda Raya, what was Ramananda Raya doing? Pradyumna Brahmachari, he was just waiting for Ramananda Raya. The servants of Ramananda Raya told him, wait for some time, he is busy. So after waiting for a long time, he went. The second day, he again comes. And he says, where is Ramananda Raya? He says, no, he is busy. So he says, I want to see what he is doing. What is Ramananda Raya doing? In those days, there were Devidasis at Jagannath temple. There were young girls who would dance for the pleasure of the deities. And Ramananda Raya was personally decorating the bodies of these young girls. So a young man and young girls actually is not allowed. And Pradyumna Brahmachari, when he saw this for the first time, he is a Brahmachari. So he got bewildered. He thought, how is this happening? And then later he understood, when he met Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya told him, do not even have a thought in your heart about the nature of Ramananda Raya. There is nobody else in this world who can do this. Do not try to imitate him. And do not think that anybody else, there is only one personality in this world who can touch the bodies of young girls and decorate them for the pleasure of the Lord. He is Vishakhasakhi himself. So he mentions this example of how ordinary people, when they see great souls, they get bewildered. And that's why great souls do not reveal their heart. They do not reveal their emotions in general masses. And another example that he gives is, when Pundarik Vidyanidhi first time came to Navadvip, Navadvip Vasis also misunderstood him to be a sense enjoyer. Pundarik Vidyanidhi was a rich person. His Vrishabhanu Maharaj is the father of Radharani. But he had some ways. You know, he used to dress his hair very nicely. He used to wear very fashionable clothes. And so people misunderstood him. And that is why it is mentioned by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, a self-realized soul is as grave as the ocean because it does not allow anyone to understand his intention. A saintly person is thus unfathomable and does not reveal his identity to others. So with these few words, we'll stop here. We discussed the mentality of a saintly person. First was internally grave and thoughtful and externally very cheerful and pleasing. But that's not duplicity. That is a relationship with the parampara above him and the parampara below him. Then we discussed how it was mentioned the saintly persons are never disturbed. And we saw how everyone in this world is super disturbed. People, the most intellectual people don't have any clue of how to solve the problems. And then we discussed how people don't have any clue of solving problems, but the great saintly persons do not solve the problems. They identify the deeper issues that keep cropping up at different places in the form of problems. And that's why they have the solution to these problems. tapatraya unmulanam. And then we discussed one dialogue from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, how he identifies the core issues that are there and he solves them. And the last we discussed how a saintly person does not reveal his heart very easily. Unless you are one of the trusted people, unless you are somebody who understands his heart, he won't reveal it. So with this few words we'll stop. Thank you very much for your patient listening. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki jai, Anantakoti Vaishnavrinda ki jai.